Thriller comes out, and the first word in the street is, oh boy. So the first single is the cute duet with Paul McCartney. This is nowhere in the league of the classic duet with Paul McCartney, which comes a year and a half later, Say, Say, Say. That's from one of Paul's albums. The Girl Is Mine, sweetie baby. And everyone thinks, okay, Michael's just being cute.
Jackson's biographer, J. Randy Tarabarelli.
It's interesting that when the Thriller album was complete, Quincy Jones and others who worked on the record thought it was a fine album, but they told Michael that he perhaps had expectations that were not realistic for the album's sales. Michael became very upset with them, and he actually threatened to not allow the album to be released at all. And he called Walter Yetnikoff, who at that time was the chairman of CBS Records, and told him that Quincy Jones doesn't believe in this project the way I want him to. And no one seems to believe in this project the way I feel they should believe in it. I think it can be the biggest record of all time. And if you guys at CBS aren't going to get behind it the way I feel you should, then don't release it at all. And ultimately, of course, it did come out. And ultimately, of course, Michael Jackson's instincts were right. It was the biggest record of all time. But who could possibly have known that at the time, except, of course, for Michael Jackson? Then comes Billie Jean. And with Billie Jean is the Steve Barron directed video. And it's the beginning of Michael Jackson, the adult dancer. You've got the novelty of the video form. You've got the novelty of Michael as the adult dancer. The impact of this is colossal. He then goes on national television on the Motown 25th anniversary show, delivers one of the most breathtaking performances you'll ever see, wins the Zenny Award for that. And the album is off and running.
The Motown 25th show was in honor of its founder, Berry Gordy. At the time, it attracted one of the biggest television audiences ever. Initially, Michael was reluctant to take part. He was worried about too much TV exposure. Gordy managed to talk him round.
I said that if you do this thing and you do it right, because of the popularity of this show, you can go into orbit. And of course, no truer words were spoken, because when he did that moonwalk, he didn't know how it was going to come out. I didn't know how it was going to come out. Adrenaline was flowing, but he did it, and it was incredible. And there can never be a better performance than that, because he will never have that enthusiasm and that fear that you have the first time you do it. It's like an opening night. You don't know how it's going to come out. He did go into orbit, never to return back to this earth again.
Motown songwriter Lamont Dozier and Jonathan King were in the audience that night.
The entire audience, mainly made up of hard-bitten, cynical old industry people like myself, were on our feet, cheering. And I looked around behind me and I saw the executives watching him do the moonwalk to Billie Jean. And I saw every single jaw dropping, and in every single set of eyes, there was the horror. They had realized how much less talent the people they had to work with on a daily basis had than Michael Jackson. Michael's doing the moonwalk to Billie Jean on stage live for the first time is probably the single greatest performance I've ever seen of anyone.
At first I got these chills. I'm a very spiritual person, and I'm not easily moved, and this thing that was happening in that room got a hold of me, and it was like I reared out of my seat, I mean, with the kids, because it was so prominent. It was so perfect when you see the hat out, and it was so, the magic. I said, this man has been blessed. This man has got the calling. I said, look at this. And I was looking at my wife, and she was saying, I said, you feel this? And she said, yeah, what's going on? And the audience, the whole crowd stood up on their feet, and they were cheering. I've never seen anything like it. It was in the room, and it was Ooh, amazing. It was some magic there that night.
Country dancing is the most wonderful thing of all time because people communicated through bodily movement before anything. I mean, dancing is really showing your emotions through bodily movement. And I think it's a wonderful thing to get out on the floor and just feel free and do what you want and just let it come out. And when I dance, I really feel it. And I just feel free and I do what I feel. It's instinct. It's God. It's escapism. It's getting away from everything and just moving your body and letting all the tension and pain out and just having a good time.
That one specific moment, Michael had it all going for him. The bizarre thing was there was a party afterwards and Michael came out and it was as though he was completely high. And Michael doesn't do drugs and has never done drugs. The only high he was on was the adrenaline high and the buzz that had come back from the audience. I mean, it really was quite a question of tugging him back from the ceiling down to the ground because he was absolutely, completely out of it on the buzz that he'd had.
The following day, Fred Astaire congratulated Michael for being a hell of a mover and an angry dancer. Thriller, of course, went on to become the biggest selling album of all time. 47 million copies at the last count. Almost double that of its nearest rival, Saturday Night Fever. It stayed at the top of the US chart for 37 weeks. Longer than any other album in the chart history. And in March 1983, Thriller became the first album to hold the number one spot on both sides of the Atlantic at the same time.
Thriller was a concept that was executed perfectly. Writing a song, making a record, making a video, performing, all those things Michael wrapped around in one thing and have a total product. And that's the only way you can become a superstar with the magnitude of a Michael Jackson. It's not one thing. Or two things even. In his case, it was like at least four. It seems to me tonight, and the people were knocking from the door. And by the moonlight, it was that almost stopped your heart. You try to dream, but there I take the sun before you make it. You start to dream.
The album just keeps selling past 10 million, past 20 million, past 30 million. The thing doesn't stop. And so they keep taking singles off, and they're all good, and they're all hits. They realize that every play they get on one of these singles is a free ad for the album. The business changes forever, because instead of having one or two singles from an album, three tops, suddenly record companies say to their major artists, don't produce a lot of albums, produce a few albums from which we can take a lot of hit singles. Whereas in the 60s, you had artists like the Beatles putting out two albums a year. You've got albums coming out once every two or three years.
In the news today, from the Strange and Weird Fact File, singer Michael Jackson sleeps in an oxygen chamber. The singer says that the hyperbaric chamber has the benefit of reducing the aging process.
What began to happen at that time is another defining moment in Michael Jackson's history. Michael began to take on a rather supernatural, plastic surgeried, rather sensational personality. It's hard to imagine now that Michael was not always like this. He just thought he was a very talented performer. Around the time of Thriller, Michael began different public relations gimmicks having to do with the hyperbaric chamber and the Elephant Man's bones and a shrine to Elizabeth Taylor and a series of noses in rapid succession. And we began noticing a lot of unusual behavior. Much of that was orchestrated by Michael Jackson for the purposes of publicity. In fact, Michael gave his attorney John Branca and his manager Frank DeLeo a copy of Barnum's biography and said to them that this is what I want my life to be like. I want it to be the greatest show on earth. Unfortunately, at that time, it became such a great show that many people and many of his critics began losing respect for Michael's music.